Shut it down! Shut it down forever!
Mile High Sanity Project presents...
Nothing. The show is about nothing.
Derailed.
I think you may have something here.
Well, good morning.
I like it. This show is about nothing. I like it.
I couldn't hear it.
You couldn't?
Really?
Oh.
Why
no.
is that? Huh.
I got nothing.
Oh. Sad days. Oh, well. It was funny.
You'll have to trust that I am a brilliant man.
Yeah. There was a little Seinfeld plug in there.
Yeah. A little Dark City I pulled out of there, but
nice. Yeah, none of us had heard the intro before, so that's what's going on. We're... I'm intrigued. I like it.
Yeah. So, everyone, you're with the Mile High Sanity Project, of course, but this is a new concept that maybe will work, and if it doesn't, then fuck it. We won't do it.
We'll have to refund all the money we're making on this.
Oh, man.
Episode.
Our sponsors.
I will have wasted nothing but time. My name is Nick. I'm here with Norman Schultz.
Good morning.
I'm here with Brittany.
Hi.
And I'm here with Trauma.
Hey.
Kind of here with Trauma, anyways. Yeah, so I just wanted to have a show where we could talk about wherever we wanted. That was the whole idea and purpose underwriting this venture. So, derailed. So we're just going to get off the tracks the whole episode here and do whatever the fuck we want.
I have no idea what we're talking about.
Woo!
By design.
I'll probably talk about Trump.
Maybe. It's almost unavoidable, yeah. So we'll just see. You know, hopefully the episode won't devolve into an episode of Nick Bitches About Everything.
We can do a series on that.
Yeah, we could. That could be fun.
I have no issue with that. In fact, I'm thinking of an intro right now of some, like, rabid dog.
Yeah, and a woman screaming in the background.
I'm thinking a bulldog, because I'm kind of... We were talking about TV shows before we started the episode, and, like, Sopranos is up there for me, and you kind of remind me of that guy.
This will sound terrible. I've only seen maybe a few episodes of the first season of Sopranos.
Dude, oh. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, and I heard it's amazing, and never got into it.
Yeah, there's a couple episodes where his therapist has a dream about him, and the representation of him is a bulldog.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because he kind of looks like a bulldog. And
can you tell the difference between a bulldog growl and, like, a German Shepherd growl?
I'm sure there's someone on the planet that can.
Well, I'm asking you, Norm.
Oh, I certainly can't. I don't know shit about dogs. Anyway, yeah, great show. Yeah, you remind me of that guy a bit.
I'm trying to get caught up on a lot of shows right now.
Mm.
I'm still going through. I'm gonna start and binge watch Westworld.
Westworld is amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
My brother watched it and told me that he loved the concept of it, and he's like, but the first few episodes, like the first half of the season, you'll watch it and kind of think at the end, that was really cool, but didn't really matter. Until, like, the very last couple episodes. He said, like, kind of all ties it together in a way that made it awesome.
Yeah.
I don't agree.
Yeah, I don't agree either. Yeah.
I've liked everything that I've seen so far. I'm only, like, about three into it, but...
The whole thing is very cerebral, and very connected. It's a great show.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder why people love to talk about TV shows. I mean, I enjoy it, but when you guys are at the end of the evening, do you guys relax at home with, like, a couple of hours of television to unwind?
Yeah.
Is that
maybe, like, once a week.
Really?
Yeah.
So Chalmer is the outlier in of Americans. Most Americans do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you play video games for a couple hours at night?
Like once a week.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's two nights. What about the other five?
I'm usually out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. For me, it's mostly TV, I'd say. I mean, I sneak some video games, and I'm married now, so I can't just do video games whenever I want.
Right.
I have to hide like a cave troll at night and come out and, like, well, people are sleeping.
Bummer.
I volunteer at a club. I go out with friends. I'm home very seldom.
Yeah. That's a little more, I would say that's a little more, I don't know how this is going to sound, it's probably going to sound snooty, but it's a little more European.
A little more European.
Yeah.
In my travels, and also with Laura, we noticed that, you know, when we're visiting European cities, especially in Spain.
Mm-hmm. They go out.
They go out with their kids, they stay out till midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, even. And they're not like sitting at home watching TV all that much. They're out just about every night at the pubs, at the bars, at the restaurants.
You know, when I was paying less in rent, I was going out more. But now that rent has increased, I can't afford to go out. So a lot of times we'll have people come over.
Right.
And we have like a little keg in the house and stuff. So we'll hang out at the house. But I simply can't afford to go out anymore.
Yeah.
It's interesting because a lot of my friends are European. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
I just have less and less time now. I mean,
yeah.
There was a time period between about 2000, like, eight and probably 2011, like for like a good solid 2 or 3 years, where I was just out and about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was hanging out like with like a local Star Wars fan group. I was
doing you got married. Podcast. That's what happened.
Yeah,
that's kind of what happened. I mean, it just takes away other time that you can do. But also,
that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. And it's just I'm also like tired a lot. So when I get home from
me
work,
me too.
I'm just I love a good sofa.
Yeah,
I treat sofa in like a verb. I like the sofa when I get home.
Yeah.
Sometimes I recliner depending on how I'm feeling.
Sure.
Are you eating snacks, Chalmer?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can hear every crunch.
Stop eating snacks.
Corn nuts.
Okay, we'll call this the corn nuts episode. Right. What I was going to say is that what I noticed when I was in Europe was, you're on vacation, so you're more in the mood to go out.
Yeah.
But also, we stay in places that you can walk out of your door and walk to all kinds of like restaurants and places. Mm-hmm. And in the United States, it's a little harder to live that way. And so, every time we're on vacation – I always tell Laura, and we agree on it, that we want to bring more of that lifestyle home. Mm-hmm. We want to do more and go more to places during the week. But I figured out that the problem is, when you work, for me, I'm tired after work. And also, the drive home, I'm facing traffic.
Yeah.
And since I cannot walk out of my door and go to too many places, going anywhere would involve getting back in a fucking car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just don't want to do that,
you know?
Yeah. It's an American thing as far as just the landmass. It's funny, mm-hmm. like when I would talk to people who were foreign when they came here, and they're like, we decided to drive from Los Angeles to Nevada or something like that to Las Vegas. And they're like, didn't realize how long of a drive it would be.
Yeah.
They're like, on the map, it just looked like
from
here to there.
No.
But because in their country,
Vegas from here, and it is a long.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I drove from Nevada to North Carolina one time.
Yeah,
it was awful.
It took me 3 days to drive to Key West one time.
Not just awful of the distance; it's also partially awful because of the terrain that you were going.
Yeah. Well, you have to drive through the middle of the country where there's just nothing but like endless flat fields forever.
Yeah, I went the northern route, so I went through like Kentucky and stuff, so it was a little bit better, and it was in summer, so it was green.
That's nice.
But yeah, there for a while, it was bad going through like the Midwest and stuff. Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, does this mean that the American lifestyle is, in a significant way affected by our geography?
I think so.
I think that's right.
You have like a big urban sprawl.
The car culture.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I spend probably an hour and a half a day in the car.
Yeah. And so the last thing I want to do when I get home is get in the car again.
Yeah.
Right.
So we've been taking Uber now, which is a blast.
I love Uber. It's cheap.
I've never done that.
It's Uber's nice. Great.
Oh my God, it's really fun.
I don't really have a reason to. From where I live, I just have my own car.
It's almost like having a personal driver.
But then you can go out and you can drink without worrying about drunk driving.
You don't have to worry about finding parking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're always
there. Here's the thing about Uber. There are a lot of airports and places where Uber is not allowed.
Right. Well, not really in Denver.
Well,
Denver, they're allowed everywhere.
We also have the train that goes to the airport. So really, Uber not being there isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, we're not really talking about going to airports.
Yeah.
And in Denver, I think they have unrestricted access to just about everything.
I think they upped their
access to the airport.
They did, actually. I just dropped my wife off at the airport. And there's like a sign that's like, Uber and Lyft drivers this way.
Yeah.
Nice.
And like a whole separate lot just for them, I suppose. And taxi drivers. But I usually have to take my own car just because of where I live.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So. And I just for like financial reasons, I don't go out drinking a whole lot. So.
Yeah, same boat.
Yeah, I understand. But I don't know. I think that you can go out and not spend a whole lot of money. You have to be kind of clever about it.
Yeah.
But I do worry that it's really common for us Americans to spend too much time at home, vegging in front of the TV. Even though I enjoy the TV that we watch. But you know, this thing called the show hole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there, you want to stay at home and relax, but you've watched everything that's good, decent.
Yeah.
Something. I mean, you know, to me it's enjoyable to do these things. I enjoy these TV shows too, but maybe that's a sign that something is a little bit off.
Yeah.
A little bit too much.
What we do is, like I said, we just have people over, and I live kind of in the city. I live in technically Sunnyside, I guess.
Right.
So I am within walking distance, so a lot of these things aren't really an effect on me, but those bars are expensive now.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Everything's gotten way expensive.
I know that area, yes. It's ridiculous.
So it used to be that way.
We went out to the Highlands yesterday, and my beer was $13.
Yeah, they've hiked up. Yeah. It's just the new how the society is now. It's just changing, and it'll fluctuate, and it'll go back down, I'm sure, hopefully.
I would hope.
But our thing is we just have beer and, you know, alcohol, whatever, mixers at our house. And then people come over and
we're doing something similar. It was a New Year's resolution that Laura plans a lot of our social things.
Mm-hmm.
But so my resolution was, well, once a month, and it's on me, is going to be having people over for either games or cards.
Yeah.
And so we've just started that. And I think, you know, it's going to be a tradition from now on. So.
We do every other Sunday and every Thursday, nice. And then, like, a random day during the week.
That's nice.
And I do D&D once a week, too.
Yeah, that's ours is...
Are you serious?
You know, I do tabletop role-playing games every other Sunday.
D&D?
Not D&D. We've gone beyond D&D.
Yeah, that's my issue.
No, I just started.
It's a bit crunchy, but I like D&D, but...
See, Chalmer took my class a long time ago, so he knows that I'm judgmental about people.
No. Name 500 times you've judged someone. So you can't do it.
Yeah. We've actually gotten this into this whole last 4 or 5 months, I guess. We kind of got bored with the games that were already out. So we're making our own games and universes and stuff like that.
Huh.
And make our own rules and whatever, you know.
We have friends who have written their own D&D books.
Yeah.
I stopped listening to them like about 2 minutes ago.
I'm trying it for the first time. I do it online.
Fuck you, Norm.
Are you doing Dungeons & Dragons?
It's not Dungeons & Dragons. It's some kind of version of...
Cthulhu?
It's a version of...
It's called Pathfinder.
Oh, Pathfinder?
The one I'm doing is a version of like some kind of Heroes thing.
Is it Exalted? Oh my god!
Fuck if I don't know. Like, my friend helped me. My friend in Georgia runs a group online. We just use Google Hangouts to call everyone. And so I tried it for the first time last week, and so that was.
You know, if you write it all down on paper, I have no legitimate argument whatsoever against any role playing games. They're creative. They're like they require people using their imaginations, using a lot of strategy. It's social, so it's not like mindless, you know, like RPGs online where technically you're playing against other people, but you might as well be playing against computers.
Well, and all you do is you just push 4 or 5 buttons.
I have no idea what my problem is.
No one knows.
Just something.
You should try it, Norm.
I have tried it.
You would make a great druid.
Druid?
No, he would be the diplomat.
Okay, first
he'd
of all, fuck you. And second of all, I'm an elf.
Norm doesn't have enough beard to be a druid
at
the moment.
What about in those situations like elves don't exist in this world?
So?
Would you just create? Because I make up just fucking races, man. It's fun. You can make a whole race based on Norm.
This is terrible. I'm starting to get interested
in this
now.
It's amazing. I made a goat person with like... USB cords for horns, man. It was amazing.
You know what I think?
The version of D&D I play.
Not D&D. Don't play D&D.
Okay.
The version I play.
Make your own universe.
We've made up.
Don't
limit. We have different planets, and we merge like ancient technology and wizardry and all that shit with modern technology. And so there's
that sounds
like,
kind of cool.
Yeah, there's spaceships, but there's also like elves and wizards. And every planet has a tech level from like 1 to 14. So like 14 is like the master race sort of, you know, they can go through hyperspeed and they have infinite energy and all that stuff. And then the level 1 is like barbarians. And so you play on these worlds and you create a backstory. And some of these worlds are level 1s, but level 14s will get involved. And it's
fun.
It's actually a lot of fun.
I do like the limitless imagination part of it.
Yeah.
I have a theory about myself.
What?
The reason why I hated this stuff was because when I was introduced to it, I was single. And I knew that if I got into D&D, considering that most of my hobbies were very guy-oriented already, that would just take me even further from, like...
I play with my boyfriend.
I understand, but this is... it's
yeah, no, I get it.
Probably healthy.
I have a counterexample for you. My friend who invited me into his group to play, he met his now wife in a D&D type of a group. It was a role-playing group up in college, and he was in Fort Collins.
Well, yeah, I mean, I met a couple of girls when I was playing Magic, but that was in a, you know, tournament setting that was also populated by about 300 men.
I just saw
there were four women there.
Nice. I've honestly never heard a woman go, oh, I love Magic.
Yeah.
I think because... Oh, hold on.
And I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm changing my mind about this, and now that I'm married and... You know,
have you tried into the
mobile? What would Laura do? Would she would not? What would she
go
like?
Go play tennis?
Right. Yeah. Whatever.
Have you tried it in the mobile versions of Magic? I just saw the other day like a downloadable app.
Yeah,
that's Magic.
I've completely gone off of Magic now.
Yeah, you're...
really?
In all forms. So there was a mobile version called Hearthstone.
The Magic Dive.
And I've completely warded off of them because all of them have the same common... yeah, but I actually want to make a point about this. All of them have the same common theme, and it is to... use the strategy that is possible in the game as a way of getting you to spend money.
Yeah.
And so it's really manipulative. So you will put a lot of effort into building an online deck or getting cards that you think work together and research, and you will play and you will get completely trashed by someone else who has simply spent more money on the game or has been playing the game for a lot more years and has collected a lot more. And so that makes you want to buy and collect more, and that is exactly what they want you to do.
Right.
And I'm sick of it. It's legalized form of gambling, and it's a legalized form of gambling that markets to children. And it is really addicting if you have that strategy kind of mind.
I was just going to say, I wonder how this would affect people who have addictive personalities. And
really have an addictive personality.
No,
but the strategy part of it.
But somebody who has like a gambling addiction. Yeah. I wonder if those kind of role playing games like that online.
I'm sure. And so, you know, it's kind of absurd with Magic now. I mean, you know, some of the cards, individual cards. I'm not talking about like world famous cards. I'm talking about cards that you would use right now going to a game store with 13, 14 year old kids playing it.
Yeah.
Some of those cards are $50, $75 for one card.
Yeah.
Where are these kids getting the money? And you got adults that are like just beating people because they have more money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you don't have to be good at it. You do, but it's just gross. I'm so glad I'm out of it. And the thing is, you can satisfy
that
strategy.
I stopped playing is, like Zynga Games is a game developer, and they're one of their sole strategies is to coax you into buying things.
Absolutely,
it's genius, but it's
gross.
Nefarious.
So. It's gross.
Have you seen the cool thing with like Google created Magic cards or whatever? I saw something with AI created Magic cards.
There was an article about that. Yeah.
I don't know what they did. They ran it through some kind of algorithm and let this AI create the cards.
And the thing is that you can easily satisfy that strategy kind of craving without that addictive part.
Yeah.
What I'm doing now is I'm finding like old video games that were really famous, and I'm kind of trying the demos and seeing which ones work. So, like right now, I have in my queue to play XCOM. I don't know if you guys
know
these.
Oh, XCOM's great.
Yep. And I did the BioShock series.
Oh, my God.
I heard that's really good.
So I go back and I find these for like $1.
Do you have a 360?
No, I'm a PlayStation person. Oh.
You know what I really had a blast doing recently?
Because I have all of
them. I hacked a Wii.
Oh, wait. You or Wii?
I hacked
a Wii. You or Switch or what?
Well, Switch isn't out yet, though.
No, not yet.
No, the
just
what do you mean?
Old Wii.
The old Wii.
The old Wii.
It took me a couple of days, actually. I was on vacation. Nothing. Oh, you've done it, Chalmer?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I mean, you're getting into the BIOS.
Nice.
You're like putting memory address numbers in and stuff like that.
Wow, cool.
It was not easy.
I've been hacking video games for like 15 years.
Cool.
Nice.
So I had a lot of fun hacking that, and now I've got it hooked up to a hard drive. With full list of games.
Nice.
And I'm playing them every week, and sometimes Laurel will join me, and that's a blast.
Nice.
Right now I'm going through Mass Effect because I never actually finished that trilogy.
Yeah, Mass Effect is fantastic.
It's amazing. I love the lore of it. I love lore in general, and there's people people made such a really deep world with it. It was fantastic. So I just finished Mass Effect 1, and I had started years ago Mass Effect 2, but I stopped because I wanted to play 1 first. So now I'm into 2. This weekend I might try and finish 2 and then finish 3. I want to get Mass Effect Andromeda when it comes out, even though it's not really connected to the other ones. I just like the lore and want to get more in that world.
The end of Mass Effect 3 is very disappointing.
Well, see, I've heard that, but other people say it's fine, and I kind of wish the developers would have just stuck with their fuck you, this is the way it ended, deal with it. But instead they put out some DLC content to assuage. Like, they were getting death threats from like a bunch of whiny teenagers, like, how dare you end it that way? Don't tell me how it ends.
Oh, Sean, shut up.
But, does that not...
It just sucks because you help build this world and your decisions.
No, nope. Norm doesn't know things.
Neither does Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, obviously, because we're talking to him right now. About this. But you should definitely play BioShock,
Here's what I want to say about Mass Effect. What I absolutely love about Mass Effect is, in my opinion, better than any other game. The fundamental premise is very realistic and just enormous. If you the basic premise is, if you can start to manipulate mass deliberately, this is what will eventually happen.
Yeah.
And that is awesome. It's such a great premise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
It's insanely deep also, like how much sometimes I just sit and let the narration people read about the species and the different aliens and the ships and how they work. Because they were nice, because I know I'm lazy, and so they went ahead and have like a guy narrate it. So like, I don't even have to read anymore.
Yeah, I don't have to Google this on the internet or anything.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
So, Norm, you played BioShock.
Yeah.
I couldn't play the first BioShock for more than 20 minutes without having to watch a Disney movie before I went to bed.
Really?
It's disturbing.
I have every single one of the BioShock games here.
Did you ever play Fear?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fear was really good with that.
Did you ever play Amnesia?
No.
Oh.
Or if I did, I don't remember.
Oh! Nick, high five me. I need to. Thanks. That was stupid, and I liked it. But you should play Amnesia. Oh, wait. Hold on. Let's wait for Chalmer.
I think Chalmer must be tired.
Yeah.
Sorry. That got me.
Yeah, it did.
He's caught in a loop where he forgets it and then remembers it again, so it's always fresh and new.
Video games are a lot of fun and creative, and I like the ones that can really stimulate your imagination. But it also has the potential downside of not being very social. And I got to say, that's one of the things that's nice about like in-person role-playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a friend of mine that does corporate role-playing.
Corporate?
Why would
Live-action role-playing. So what he does is he has a group of people that he gets together with, and they will like talk over the net and email and say, okay, set a date, set a time, place.
Oh, he's a LARPer.
It's a LARPer, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a LARPer. And they will all meet at a bar or restaurant. Mm-hmm. And they will all be dressed in like suits. They'll get like fake badges and things like that. And they will pretend that they are like high rollers in some corporation. Everybody has their different roles. And they're like in for a conference or something. And they're all playing their role like for that evening.
Oh my God.
Sounds like a weird sort of Donald Trump dream or something like that.
Yeah. I thought it sounded really fun, actually.
It could either be amazing or it could be awful.
So, Chalmer, you have some experience with this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I meet with, like, SVPs and stuff all the time.
SVPs. Yeah, it's not, I don't know what that means.
Like, senior vice presidents and...
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Well, yeah, but if you were acting it...
Yeah, if you weren't actually invested in it...
If you're pretending to be, like, the...
I don't know. Director. I would want to go like full on Umbrella Corp with it and just like say some bizarre shit.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
You can be online. What does our corporation do?
Oh, it has to be extreme.
We sell nose hair trimmers. Whatever. Yeah.
No, I would totally do Umbrella Corp and start talking about like massive, like, I don't know.
Bioweapons.
You
know, it better be extreme. Otherwise, it sounds experiment. Like it's kind of a boring game to me.
It sounds, I mean, I kind of want
to
try it.
If you had leeway to go off the cliff of insanity with it, I would totally be down. But if I have to talk about like CPS reports and memos and stuff,
I think they do. I think, for example, some people say, "I'm not going to be in the corporation. I'm going to be a high priced hooker."
Oh, yeah. Yes. Or a hitman.
Or I'm going to be a corporate spy for another corporation. You know, whatever.
It's starting to sound a little kinky.
Uh-oh. Chalmers interested.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just not a slippery slope. You start off playing corporate business, and later on you're like, hey, come over to my place. We're playing corporate CPAs. And like, we just all sit around.
And type.
Right? Like, that doesn't add up.
So. Who's bringing the TPS reports?
Someone's who gets to be the office space guy?
That's a paddling.
So, Nick, what would you say you do here?
Well,
as little as possible.
It's a jump to conclusions.
Can I be the next door neighbor construction worker? Because I liked him.
I mean, I think they'll let you do whatever you want.
Because I already have the bottle opener keychain.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm there, guys.
This
I'm
really just goes to show how bad reality actually sucks right now. They were like, what can we do? Let's imagine that we're successful business people.
Imagination.
Yes,
it is. Niche.
Are we talking about Trump now?
No, we don't have
to. We don't
we
have
can.
To.
I would but like
hey,
to.
Hey,
we can. Let's talk about Trump.
I would like to.
All right.
Oh, here's something I wanted.
This guy's
I did.
Nuts, right?
Well, yeah.
This guy. Yeah.
This guy. I'll tell you something I did want to kind of
look
bring
how
up.
Sad
I have a minority
him.
Opinion on this, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
Amongst my friends.
Oh, okay.
Which is why.
I'm probably
I had
like
a little mini heart attack.
Chalmer, what'd you say?
I'm probably about halfway between you and your friends, Norm.
Well, I'll tell you something I wanted to
he
bring
already,
up. In
Chalmer
here.
Knows me. He yeah. knows already the direction I'm going.
Well, because, yeah. Norm, see, we're philosophers, and so we don't go to the two extremes. This is something I did want to talk about. I wrote this down. Counterproductive hyperbolic rhetoric.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff where if you don't agree with me, you're Hitler or you're a fascist or you love racism because you voted for somebody who sometimes says stupid shit.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that that is...
You guys saw my post about the immigration ban, right?
Yeah.
I think I've turned off your posts, so I don't know.
I lost joke. Like 20 friends over that.
Well, see, that bothers me. And that's something that I can't stand now that is mostly on the left, the... this whole smug kind of I don't
How
like you,
you
and you're done and bye.
Yes.
This bye band.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. And I hate that people are just like banning people or blocking people. Like, you're blocked and stuff like that. I mean, it all seems like such an appeal to emotion. Like you get people who get really stirred up and angry. And it's not even that I don't feel like there's a reason to be angry or that I don't feel like there's some kind of good reason perhaps to be concerned at the very least.
Right.
I just don't like people
just shutting
shitty
down
arguments. It's a tough time, Norm, to be a philosopher right now, don't you think? Like, if
it
you
is.
Know the rules of logic and reason, this last year and since November 8th has been tough for
yes.
me to like listen to
people,
things on both sides.
Yes.
It's just it
people
really
aren't
drives
willing
me crazy.
To disagree.
No,
and
no, they're not.
Be okay with it.
And the thing is that I'm learning. I mean, I kind of already knew this, but I'm learning it much more clearly now since Trump has been elected. Two things: one, just how much the mainstream media distorts things.
Hmm.
It actually
yeah.
is true that the mainstream media does distort things. I have seen. I'll give you an easy example. I have seen where they are totally lambasting Trump for saying something that is just a flat-out lie. And what they do is they change the wording of what he said to make it into a lie. And they seem to do this without even noticing that that's a straw man. He will come back and he will say that we didn't arrest anyone from this travel ban. This has affected this number of people. And they'll say, well, how about all these people that were temporarily detained at the airport? And that was not the kind of issue that he was talking about initially at all. He didn't consider being detained at the airport for an hour to be something that really caused people significant problems.
I think his problem is that he doesn't consider things.
Well, that's different, though. My point is that he's saying one thing, and they're saying the news is saying he's lying, and then they're changing the characterization of what he's saying to make it to where he's lying. And so he wasn't actually lying, and they're talking past each other.
I think the problem is they're trying to – they're upset about this thing. They're upset about his character. They're upset about, you know, detaining the unconstitutional – institutional blah 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 blah. You
right.
know the argument. And the problem is that they're making anything and everything that he does that's in even a slight connection to this into what they're pissed off about.
Yeah.
And while I stand behind what they're upset about and I identify as a bleeding heart liberal, I think that it's wrong to say every single thing that you're
exactly.
doing you're tying it back to this. Instead of doing that, make an actual argument.
Yeah.
And yes. I found a lot of times, because I go on to, I don't do Twitter, but right. I'm on Facebook, and so I'll go on to Donald Trump's Facebook thing.
Right.
And every single thing that Democrats or liberals or whatever are saying about Republicans or right wing, they are saying the exact same things, replacing liberal with conservative, and they're saying it about us. So right. we are arguing for the exact same things.
Right.
But we're just making each other enemies, and yeah. it's ridiculous.
Yes. No,
and it's well, been this I way. Hate Trump. Yeah. I will go on record and say he's an awful human being. But we need to actually make an argument, not just be pissed off. Well, at
exactly.
each other.
What's funny is you can remember from the Obama years. I remember conservatives tossing around the word "fascist" all the time. Like Obama's a fascist, and he's a fascist. Now people are saying, "Well, Trump's a fascist," and all this. Someone doesn't know what the fuck they're talking about. Right. Both sides are saying this. That's right. all yeah. I can say.
Right.
I remember him being communist. I don't remember fascist.
No, I've heard both.
Well, people associate the two.
Is insane. That's
because yeah. people don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it bothers me. What I don't like seeing is, okay, so whenever I try and make, you know, philosophical arguments, and this always sounds like some kind of weird, I feel like I'm being high and mighty if I say that I'm a philosopher to people, but I really do think that way. And sure. I for fun, like, Norm, you get what I'm coming from, right? Yeah. Like, we think about things for fun all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah, just call your project.
You say you're an amateur philosopher. You're yeah. not making money at it yet.
Right. So, and probably never will.
Most philosophers aren't.
Yeah, I'm halfway there, so.
Yeah.
What I don't like, though, is I feel like whenever you make arguments, you should just be judging the premises right. and the conclusions, and that's right. it. Instead, though, what you get a lot of people saying is, well, of course you would say that. You're a white cis male.
Sure.
And
yeah.
that to me feels like it's a logical fallacy. I want to say that that's not going to appeal to my race. It has, if I've argued correctly, where I accidentally was born and what color my skin is and what gender I am or am not yeah. should be irrelevant.
It's the genetic fallacy. You remember
yeah.
that one?
Yeah.
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 But you see that a lot now. And I also see that a lot now on the left, and I also, because I mostly go on left forums because I am a liberal person.
Right.
But and I also see a lot of just people who are upset about things because they're afraid. So their arguments are essentially appeals to emotion all the time.
Yeah.
And then from there, it ties into just like some kind of ad hominem attack on the person where it's like, you know, like, well, Trump says sexist things. So if you voted for him, then you support sexism.
Or you're
and you're a sexist and you don't care about it then. And we're losing the nuance of people's arguments and people as human yeah. beings.
And I also think that it's
not black
very,
and white like that.
It's very different to say that someone says sexist things than it is to say they are a sexist.
Yeah.
I have not seen enough evidence to say that Trump is a misogynist, for example. I've seen him say some douchey things. But how much does he mean those? And I've said some really douchey things when I'm in the wrong place and the wrong time and maybe had a few drinks or was playing Cards Against Humanity.
I think the kicker for me was the stuff he said about being the head of the beauty pageant thing.
Yeah, and the grabbing by the pussy and the fact that he has done these things and there are many assault charges and he pays people off. I mean,
the fact that there are assault charges doesn't mean anything.
Well...
And
news, I think that if I'll
give you a news flash as far as the way guys talk sometimes saying something like grab him by the pussy is like lightweight shit.
But the thing is if you have several sexual assault charges and all these women coming forward, I think you're probably a misogynist.
He also used to do things that were questionable.
I don't think that's a very good argument.
Well, look,
think that sexual assault against a woman might imply that you don't like women? Or maybe you just like them too much.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is I don't think that if you're very, very... Wow, I just did a Trumpism right
Very, very.
If you're
big
really
wall,
super
big
rich.
Wall.
The best one.
The best.
If you're bigly rich.
Yes. If you're super rich.
Oh, no.
If you're super rich and famous,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you being accused of things means you did those things.
True. True.
So since I'm not willing to make that jump, then I'm not willing to make the rest of the jump.
Well, here's what there are other things, though.
Was when he was talking about he was talking on the Howard Stern show about these beauty pageants and how he would, because he owns the place, he would go backstage and
see
girls and dressing. And they had several of these beauty pageant members say, well, yeah, he would come back there. And for me, the really disturbing thing was that some of these girls were 17, the underage.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's your boss coming back there while you're undressed and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, so
it's just kind of gross no matter what, I think.
I get the guy talk thing, and I agree that just because you're accused of something doesn't mean you're guilty. But that was something that seemed both he admitted and was confirmed, and that's kind of what...
I'm actually kind of surprised to hear you talk this way, Chalmer.
Yeah?
Because, I mean, you know, we're all philosophers here, so I'm not sure there is a really good argument for, like, 18 being the correct cutoff for when people can be sexual. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree with that.
And I also think that if you're running a pageant, I think you get to go wherever the fuck you want.
Was he running it or was he a host? I don't really know.
I mean, you can't go into bathrooms. He owned it.
Well, he did. He went into a locker room.
Dressing rooms are... There are cameras in dressing rooms. There are males and females in dressing rooms.
Mm. I think
we see footage in dressing rooms.
Yeah, but you don't see nudity.
I cannot enter into this argument because I don't know.
The thing is that just because you go into a dressing room doesn't mean you're automatically seeing nudity. But he asked permission to go into the dressing room.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He didn't ask permission, and he did see nudity. He said he did.
So he didn't, like, say, hey, there's a guy coming in or anything? He just walked in?
And
he
I think
walked. He would just walk he, in.
It, this was
yeah, he, was bra- he was bragging about it.
He bragged about it on Howard.
That was like, why he went in there.
He's like, you can go wherever you want.
And then he also said that, you know, there's been times when he said, yes, I tried to. All right, I gave him too much of
the
benefit
of the doubt. I'm with you guys on this, then. I didn't realize that.
And I agree with the age thing. I think that's a...
Yeah.
You can go, you own it, you can go where you want, but you can't because it's
illegal. No, I agree now.
No, I think the biggest thing is people give him too much credit. I don't think that he's like a bigot and a racist and a sexist because that would require thoughts and opinions on those things.
Yeah.
I think that he doesn't have thoughts and opinions on those things. I think that his thoughts stop at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
I think that he thinks he's the most important person.
Yeah.
He's the world's most giant id you've ever seen.
Yeah. I've been told that
he's never been told no.
I've been told that I'm surprisingly naive. That was just an example. I just assumed that when he was going into these dressing rooms, he was asking if it was okay to go in. Right.
Based on the way he talks and stuff, he was assuming he was like, excuse me.
He also admitted to trying to rape the woman. He said, yeah, I tried to kiss her. Yeah, I tried to fuck her. And, you know, and there's recordings of this.
Brittany, saying that you tried to kiss someone and tried to fuck them does not at all say that you're trying to rape them. That's ridiculous.
But
that's what you just said.
Okay. All
right. And this is the kind of reaction.
I'm not saying that he tried to rape her. I'm saying that's a sexual assault.
It is not a sexual assault for a guy to try to kiss a girl.
By definition, that's if ridiculous. She doesn't let you,
that
it
is actually by sexual assault.
It would be.
No, you guys are wrong.
No.
Trying to kiss a girl?
I'm with Norm on this.
No.
That is not.
Let's
you guys are not being
look
realistic,
it
remotely realistic.
It doesn't matter
at all.
If you're being realistic if you try to force yourself on someone who doesn't want you.
Trying to kiss a girl does not mean you're trying to force yourself on someone.
If you try to make any kind of.
There's definitely a context.
If you try and make any unwanted contact with someone, you could be sued.
You don't know
also,
if it's unwanted until after you try. And welcome to the world of guys. Most guys have to do this in order to date really any women.
I don't know, man. I'm
kind of
just thinking. Think about, like, in the workplace, and you are an employee, and your boss comes and tries to kiss you. It's inappropriate in the workplace.
That's not correct.
You don't think that's correct?
Really?
If you do that, you're going to have an interesting conversation with HR.
You guys are not thinking very clearly on this.
No,
if my boss is female, and she tries to kiss me, it becomes a problem if I refuse and she continues. It is not a problem for her to try to kiss me because at that point she does not know if it is unwanted.
Okay.
It also doesn't have any context of quid pro quo yet because nothing has been talked about. So no, that's not that is not something that she would get fired for. Not once trying to kiss me. That is not something that she would get fired for.
I don't know. I think you are missing like the practical realities of what it's like to work in a workplace that has these rules. I mean, there's all these rules.
We're talking about what's technically true versus what actually happens.
Yeah.
Well, this is something I'm always interested in.
And
is
I
where...
think if we get lost in those technical things, then it invalidates
well,
the
argument.
Well,
let's get rid of all that and let's just talk about what's morally proper.
Well, no, see, this is interesting. I'll go with you on what's morally proper, but there's a practical side of reality where the rubber meets the road. And so there's things I don't have a problem with morally speaking, but just practically because of the way things are run, it changes the way I will approach it.
I also think that there are different... In a bar, if you try to kiss a girl and she refuses, that's a different context than it at the workplace. If you're negotiating a deal and you try to get physical with someone, it's a completely different setting in which inappropriate.
That's adding...
qualifiers,
though.
Yeah. No,
but this is... If we're sticking to the story that I'm telling you, is this is the context in which he tried to do this thing.
Well, so in your mind, if someone gets upset by something, does that mean that it's morally wrong?
No.
All right. So I think that you're possibly mixing up two things.
Okay.
I think you're talking about a case in which it is inappropriate in a way, as in you're not being considerate of the other person. It breaks lines of etiquette, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's likely to irritate the other person. But that doesn't make it morally wrong.
I didn't say it's morally wrong.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying that this is something that he has done. It is technically this, and it was an inappropriate thing. And he has many charges against him.
And by inappropriate, if you mean made someone uncomfortable but isn't morally wrong, then why do I care about that?
Because he's the president, and if he can't be appropriate in his own personal and business situations, how can he be appropriate with diplomats' wives?
See, this is something I think people don't realize. In certain styles of behaving as a business person, you have to be that person. You have to be the slight dick in order to make money, in order to make the proper deals, in order to fire someone, in order to manage the company.
I think there
seems to be a little bit of a difference between being a slight dick and then moving on someone in some sort of
This
is the same conversation, isn't it?
No, I think it's completely different.
I don't think it is.
I don't know, man. You're negotiating a business deal and then you try to make out with the woman you're negotiating with, who's there with her husband. That's not slight dick. That's inappropriate.
That now you've changed it a little bit. He's there with his husband.
Do you not know this? You don't know this whole story?
That's an additional qualifier.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. Let me give the background.
We're having a conversation about context versus theory.
Okay. Well, the background story is a man and his wife, co-owners of a company, were negotiating a deal with Trump.
Right.
Trump cornered the woman. She left to go to the restroom or something, and went after her physically, pushed her against the wall and tried to kiss her. She said no, and I guess it happened twice, maybe three times. We'll say twice because I don't want to say three times. And they went back in, continued to negotiate the deal. I don't know if it fell through, but I feel like that's not being a pushy salesman. That's not negotiating the deal. That had nothing to do with business or being a business person. That was just an inappropriate response.
I think I'm with you on that.
And my point
I would say the first time was inappropriate. The second time was morally incorrect.
And my point isn't about you hate...
But I don't like judging these because I don't know if she sent a vibe.
A vibe?
Yeah.
A vibe?
Hey. I love the word.
I'm sorry.
Vibe? All right.
There is no vibe when
you push someone against the wall, they push you off in the middle of a business
deal. I don't think you're being realistic here. Yes.
A vibe.
Yes.
All right. All right, we'll say that maybe she gave a vibe.
I wasn't there. I don't know.
That sounds a little bit like she may have been asking for it.
Yeah. You know what? What type of skirt was she wearing?
Now, that's not the same thing.
That sounds like it is. It's like maybe she was dressing in a way that said she wanted it.
How is it not?
You're talking about a vibe. Maybe she looked at him in a way he thought she totally wants it.
We are biological beings, you guys.
So? Yeah, but
we send information nonverbally in multiple ways.
Just because we're biological beings.
I'm really surprised that you guys are reacting this way. I don't think you're really thinking about us as biological beings.
I think that we are also intellectual beings, and no matter what vibe she's giving off, he has to know that it is inappropriate to do this at this time. Maybe he should have had a conversation with her over a drink and then tried to kiss her.
I think that we all agree.
You're not an animal, man.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that. Just because you have a biological urge to kiss her.
I'm going to do it right now.
That's ridiculous. So.
No, you're in the middle
that's
of a freaking business meeting. Yeah.
No, that's ridiculous.
No.
I don't agree. I want to hear from Chalmers.
If someone says something and I have a biological urge to punch you, and I do. Like, well, sorry.
Well,
man.
I'm a biological. You sent me a vibe.
I felt emotional.
No, that's very different.
No,
because
it's not. It's exactly the same thing.
Nick, you're not thinking very clearly. If you kiss someone that wants to be kissed, that is a mutually satisfying thing. That's obviously not the case with punching someone. Unless I send the vibe that I want to be punched.
What if I thought
I don't think you're thinking very clearly.
What if
right
I thought
now?
The person was a masochist and wanted me to punch them?
Are they sending the vibe that they're a masochist? How do you do that?
They were totally acting.
How
like
do you?
They
how does one even do that?
Just the way they were walking and the way they were talking. They knew what they were doing.
You're not thinking very clearly.
They knew what they were doing when they were walking like that.
We're mammals. We send sexual vibes. Yeah, I can describe this at length. You guys can read about this.
It doesn't matter.
That's fine.
There's pheromones in the air. There's all kinds of stuff.
Norm, it's irrelevant. You don't have to act on those vibes.
Yeah, that's my thing. You don't have to act on it.
Do you have free will to act on it or not?
I still want to hear from Chalmer.
Chalmer, go.
So I think that we all agree that the behavior is inappropriate and not really in accordance with the situation. But I also agree that, you know, especially on the first time, you don't really know. And it's a matter of taking rejection properly versus...
Right.
Not taking rejection properly. So I don't think his behavior was appropriate. Now, if you said he did it twice, then yeah, the second time, it's like, no. But yeah, I understand what Norm is saying about vibes and all that stuff. It's not a matter of if you come on to someone and get rejected, it's how you handle that rejection. It's not the rejection in and of itself is not mean that you did something wrong.
Right.
I think there's some kind of area to talk about of where does it cross the line, I guess. So, like, I'm fine with people coming on to people. I have no idea. And hitting on people, that doesn't bother me at all. But Chalmer, if you were here, I'd hit on you right now. You're an attractive man.
You're right. Giving off a vibe, man.
Yeah. Right. It's in your voice.
He knew what
I
he was
usually
doing.
Give off a vibe.
But I don't know. There seems to be some kind of a line that would have to be discussed of, like, where do you cross that line into it being something not good?
Well, look.
But again, I think we're conflating context with theory here. We're talking about what's morally appropriate versus, you know, this person in this situation. Was it okay for them to do this under the circumstance? I think there's a
that's my issue.
And what I'm saying is that I can imagine, and it's not a ridiculous stretch. I can imagine a scenario that would be reported this way and it not be inappropriate.
No, I get because
for various
and
reasons.
I can imagine the converse
I can too.
As well.
No, that's not my point.
Okay.
But we're talking about something that actually happened and someone's actually
I can imagine
and I also
a lot of stuff.
I doubt some of the details of this story.
All right, but even if you do, if we just use a story as an example, whether the story happened or not, like let's just use this set of circumstances.
If it really did happen
example.
That way, then I'm with Chalmer. Then that was inappropriate, especially the second time when you get the signal, hey,
that's
this
more
is
or
not
less
okay.
What I'm talking about, but this is things I think about a lot about where I might have or not have a moral problem with something, but but practically because of the way things are, I'm okay with it. As an example. Here's an example. Like we might, I think at some point we're probably going to do an episode on maybe like, you know, should we or should we not have a electoral college or should we just have a popular vote?
Get rid of the electoral college.
I say no.
Easy.
That would be a fun discussion. Yeah,
but well, I say no.
Then we would be a democracy.
Because of the
you want to keep the electoral college.
I think we're stuck with it because of the practical realities of how it what it would take to get rid of it.
Oh,
so morally speaking,
I'm not. I wasn't even speaking to that.
No, but here's the thing: where I would say, from a moral standpoint, I can say I'm probably against it. But with the way the practical reality works,
right?
It would
be
really hard.
It is. It's a similar sort of thing with gun control. Like I'm morally against guns.
I understand.
Given the reality of the Second Amendment, I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
and I roll with it because that's just the way it is. And I understand the mechanism and the machinery required to get rid of it. It's different.
So I don't know. Sometimes I feel like saying "fuck it."
I understand that.
Fuck it, and let's make it a military, a police state for 10 years, and get rid of everybody's fucking guns. But, and if it causes them deaths, then fuck you.
Right. We have overpopulation.
And when
problems.
It's done, we'll probably be better off. Sometimes I feel like saying that.
No, I get that.
I think we all feel like
saying I think
saying
we all
want
to say fuck it lately. I think the whole country's had a bad case of the fuck it's.
You
and
know,
that's why you get someone like Trump in office.
I feel kind of shitty for saying I'm sorry in advance. But I kind of want all the shitty, awful things that Trump... Build the fucking wall. Ban the fucking Muslims. Do all this awful, shitty stuff that you're going to do. Do it. Fucking do it.
You know,
and then
I,
see
I
what happens. And I kind of want
to
go, all right.
To that position.
Fuck you. Fine. And when everyone's bombed and when we lose everything that we have, then y'all can bitch and moan and say, oh, I wasn't for it.
Well, see, Brittany,
I'm not going to stop writing my congressman.
Sure.
But
what is exactly wrong with the wall?
It's not going to do anything.
Okay, but there are two different complaints, and people conflate these.
There's also already a fence. There is a wall already.
So, Chalmer, you talk about people conflating things. People are conflating something with the wall, and this drives me fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. Otherwise intelligent people are conflating two things. Yes. One, the moral appropriateness of a wall, and two, the effectiveness of a wall. Those are not the same thing.
I don't have any moral problem with a wall. I have problems spending money on something that will do nothing.
Well, also,
look, what are you going to do? Build a wall around the entire fucking coastline of the country? We invented things called boats and submarines and airplanes, and there's other countries that you can sneak into and sneak
Those limit numbers.
We have a financial
it won't limit enough to be worth it.
We have a financial agreement with Mexico that this wall will violate. It's a treaty that we signed. I can't remember the exact name.
What, NAFTA?
No, something else that we have with Mexico and I think Central America.
I know what Brittany's talking about.
And
what?
Yeah, Chalmer, look it up because I don't have internet.
You be our research guy.
Yeah.
Get on that.
But we would violate that. And for me, if we've signed this treaty and we have this agreement.
Wait a second. We would violate an agreement by building a barrier between our country and theirs? Because we
have essentially a free trade between Mexico and the U.S.
That makes no sense. What's the point of having a border?
So I think... To Nick's point about how there's boats and things, I think there's a more legitimate point about the ineffectiveness of the wall.
That's my whole argument against it.
And it has to do with the way that people get across the border of Mexico. So if your goal truly is to limit illegal immigration,
the wall
is ineffective because most people get across the border
by driving.
They're not just sprinting. There's bribes involved. There's corrupt police. There's corrupt border control.
Yeah.
And these things don't change because you build a physical barrier.
So
regardless of whether or not the goal makes sense,
most people enter by driving, by big vans or trucks, and they're called mules, and you pay someone, and you get into a vehicle, a wall does prevent cars from going by.
A physical barrier won't stop anything.
Well, and here's my problem with the way people talk about this. A wall would have to be 100% effective for people to speak in a way that said that it would stop things. Obviously, it's not going to completely stop things. The question is not, will it completely stop things? The question will be, will it reduce the amount of traffic over? And obviously, it would if it's a decently built wall.
So what? It's a cost-benefit analysis of it. Is it worth enough to build a wall?
That is an intelligent response to this. That is not something that you can easily predict. You'd really have to have one to know what its effect was.
I think it's pretty obvious.
It's a complicated issue to determine how effective it is or to what degree.
There's too many other modes of transportation. It would just make people choose other ways.
It would reduce the numbers.
I don't know if it would. I think it would reduce the numbers of people going that way.
It depends on how resourceful they are.
I think it would reduce the amount of people going that way, but it wouldn't reduce the numbers of people coming if they really wanted to come.
Well, some people are not. So think about it in percentages. If I'm a person who does not have a good leg, I'm not going to be able to easily go up a ladder and go over. Because people talk about like how easy it is to get over a wall. Yeah, you just need a ladder. Okay, what the fuck are you going to do when you get at the top?
Yeah.
Are you going to have another ladder? You're going to carry another ladder over. Really? Okay. Have you ever actually done stuff like that? Work up like 20-foot ladders? It's not actually very easy.
I think that you'll still find people
who are not thinking. Yes, some people will do it, but this will reduce the numbers. Yeah. If I'm somewhat elderly, if I'm a very young child, or if I am not really healthy, then now you've just limited my ability to get over the wall.
All you've
got to
do is invent yourself. Have you ever seen the rolling stairs at the airport? You just drive the stairs up to the wall. Walk up the stairs. If for people who are infirm, make an escalator.
What are you going to do when you get to the other side?
You just have to have a coordination.
Again, limiting the numbers of people who will do this.
But what about the Gulf of Mexico? People do it. There's the whole boating thing. Just to forget about the fucking ladders. Forget about the ladders. Forget about the rolling stairs. There's a Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe there's going
to
be a new
industry. Boats are easier to detect than people walking.
True, but what's it go through Texas and then Louisiana?
Yeah.
I don't know how much patrol there is.
And again, I
don't know.
I don't believe that it's going to stop at all. And I actually think that I'm on the fence. I'm on the wall. Of whether it's going to be cost effective. It's probably not. Well, but what I think is that, and this is a weird thing for me to say, but this is what I think. even though I don't like Trump, he was elected as our president. How about we give his ideas a chance and let him and Why? Let's see what happens. Not all of his ideas.
I don't like that logic at all.
Yeah.
Well, I think it speaks to what Brittany said earlier.
Who cares if he has...
Let him do these things, and if they're catastrophic...
No.
Maybe we'll learn something from it.
Maybe the rebound. Well,
we have
be
no
positive.
Choice. So, like, we're on the arrow of time moving forward. We're gonna.
Well, I know,
and I guess
I guess this is where I'm at with the with liberals, and I think you'll agree with me on this. Pick your fucking battles.
Yeah, this is
nothing we
problem.
Say is going to change whether he builds a wall or not. That is an executive kind of thing.
I do have one question for you, Norm. What do you think about the social fallout? Our relations with Mexico and other countries. What do you think the problems will be that will rise from the wall?
All right. So my first
realistically,
reaction, yes, my first reaction is people say actually words out of their mouth that building a wall is racist.
No, I don't think it's racist.
Now, I know people
well,
say this.
People
though.
Say that.
People say
yeah.
this.
Yeah,
and so if building a wall is going to make racist people angry, I don't give a shit.
Non-racist people angry? You mean? Oh. You're saying
I don't give it. People who take that
gotcha.
As equating the two, I don't give a shit.
I'm not talking about how Americans feel about it. I'm saying what will the Mexican president do? How will that affect
international relations?
Yeah, international relations, not us. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
and you've already seen
because
some international relations be strained. I mean,
I understand. Here's what I think about that. If you are doing this along with trying to keep manufacturing in our country, then Mexico has no cards. So at that point, as a nation, we don't care how they react.
Yeah.
Oh, so real quick, guys.
And they don't really have a military force?
We don't care how they react. If that's the only card they have, is
but
their cheap
maybe
labor.
The UN will get involved. That's because they've had kind of...
More likely.
No, they're not going to get involved in that.
Mm. But yeah, the same thing to Brittany's point earlier, if they do... If Trump does something that's catastrophically bad and the UN gets involved, that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a win-win either way.
I don't see it being that sort of thing, but the way I see it being a problem is more if we damage our standing in the world, if we decide, hey, look, there's some kind of a place where we really do have a legitimate reason to intervene and we could really use a coalition so we're not doing
no
this
one's
all ourselves.
Support us.
I can see a lot of countries saying, go fuck yourselves.
By building a wall between us and Mexico, we are not going to be damaging our standing in the world.
I think people are going to get pissed off.
It's everything else. There's an accumulative effect you're missing.
Well, okay.
There's the wall and the
things.
Way people look at that.
Yeah.
Look at the way Canada immediately reacted to the immigration ban, saying, hey, we'll take care of these people that the United States are telling to go fuck themselves.
Yeah.
In the UK, Parliament just voted, we don't want Trump to come and speak to us. And if he does, we'll hold a special session to see if we want him to at all.
Sure.
That's never happened before, ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
I understand. I think it's a direct.
And I don't think that's related to just the wall, but I'm with you.
Not only that,
it's related to Trump's general douchebaggery.
Right.
Yeah.
And that has an effect on things. You also have the way Trump talks about NATO and... People might not think it's effective, but people who have it like it.
This is where I'm really conflicted because I actually think some of his ideas are good. I just think the guy is a jackass, so it's a real shame.
I think that he oversimplifies too much.
Yes,
and that's
he
an
certainly
issue.
Does. But it would probably benefit us to start rolling back some of these ties we have to all these countries.
Oh, it's true.
We have something like 750 military bases.
Yeah,
all of that's more than the number of countries.
Yeah. I'm all for rolling back the military. Always.
That is tied to our actual relations. That is what we have to offer a lot of these countries is military contracts.
Yeah.
That's very true.
You know what's funny?
So real quick, internet reality check.
Okay.
The agreement that we would be sort of violating is NAFTA.
Yeah. It is NAFTA. Okay.
Yeah. It is NAFTA, yeah.
I thought it was the second.
He wants to get rid of that because he says it's a bad deal.
It's a very bad deal. It's a bad deal.
Well, besides, we live in a country where we violate treaties all the time with Native Americans.
It's
why
very,
should
very bad deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the reality is if we violate NAFTA, there's really no recourse. So.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem.
Just because we can.
No, but this is what business people at the highest levels do.
Oh, I get it.
They look at, say, for example, breaking a law. And their thought is not automatically, well, we shouldn't do that. Their thought is, okay, well, let's think about the cost of breaking this law.
How much does it cost?
Have you guys seen Fight Club?
Is it worth it? Then let's do it.
Have you seen that great scene in Fight Club, whenever he's talking to the lady on the plane?
I've been in meetings where we had those kinds of conversations.
Yeah,
it happens all the time.
But that's,
we're not supposed to do this, but if we don't get caught, we'll make a lot more money.
We're going to have to shut that one down before you get in trouble at work, John.
I just, by the way, think that it's really cool to hear you in that sounding voice on the phone talking about like some shady backroom deals. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I hope it's okay to talk about this. We have contracts with our suppliers on, if they say they sold us this much and they test it and we test it and there's a certain amount of a disagreement,
right?
That disagreement can be favorable or unfavorable.
Right.
If it's favorable, we keep our fucking mouth shut.
Yeah, there's nothing illegal about that.
No,
there's not.
But
I understand what you're talking about.
Our company.
Yeah, it's cost benefit analysis. Whether it's contracts
or legal. He had a Facebook post the other like a while ago.
You know, this whole election has...
You're being a bad boy.
I'm going to get fired, Brittany. I'm not going to see you on Monday.
Yeah, no. You might be taken aside.
That's a good news.
Chalmers. I just want to point out that Chalmers not necessarily talking about any activities of his current corporation.
Exactly. Right. It could be some
past.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
And even if he was, he might just be opening up another job opportunity for somebody else. So we thank you.
Hey, promotion.
So
No. I mean, you're right that liberals need to pick their battles.
Yeah.
I think that
I want to talk about the travel ban.
The problem is if you're crying wolf over everything, it makes people stop listening.
Yeah.
And there's good things to talk about. And if you talk about the things that are worth talking about in a hyperbolic way, people also stop listening.
Yeah.
The philosopher in me is like, just make good arguments.
Yeah.
Like there are good arguments. Don't
I agree completely.
This is symptomatic. Here's a good analogy. Here's a good thing that shows a whole thinking norm. Think of the left's reaction to environmentalism.
Yeah.
So there are good things worth talking about.
Yes.
But then you're like, listen, we should probably be building more.
I've been saying this.
We should be building more nuclear power plants and doing geoengineering. People will lose their fucking mind and freak out on you. And you're like, guys, we're talking about the same thing. We have the same goal. But like this idea of yours of let's just all ban GMOs and ride bicycles. Like that's not going to solve the problem. But
That
doesn't
drive in your truck to go protest a pipeline. Do you see a problem with this?
Yeah. I mean, I just don't, you know. But they can get more protesters in the back of the truck.
That one got me.
So, I want to talk about the travel ban.
I was pissed off about the GMOs, and then he made that joke, and I'm happy. I'm back,
I'll say,
guys.
I am totally against that travel ban. As the way it was instituted, I do think it's unconstitutional.
I want to talk about the travel ban and the pipeline.
So, let me just start the salvo about the travel ban.
I don't think it's... immoral in theory to try and have borders and to control the flow of people, but the ban in particular, the language of it was terrible.
Yeah. Okay. So
and the way it was implemented, terrible.
Nick is saying what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I think you have to parse things out. The idea that the president can control who gets to visit this country is certainly within. It's my understanding that it is certainly within his power to do that, and so I think that the courts are going to get overturned.
Yeah, I think it's going to go to the Supreme Court, or they're going to rewrite it.
I think
it needs to be rewritten. The biggest problem.
It's fine. It's going to go his way eventually, though. Once he tweaks it, because he does have the power to do this.
The biggest.
I think
problem,
a big part of why it's been overturned is just the language of how it's written and the inexperience.
Yeah,
of
exactly. Yeah, Chalmers, you're absolutely right. And also, I think there are some activist judges, and I think that there was some satisfaction. These were judges that were our liberal judges. I think there was some satisfaction in
the
being able to say fuck you.
The first person who banned it was a Republican appointed judge.
Yes, I understand. I understand.
No,
but I want to point out something. There is a big difference between having a travel ban on people visiting and not accepting refugees.
Yeah.
Any country cannot accept refugees. It's douchey to not do so. But we are under no obligation to accept refugees.
And we have rejected refugees.
Yes. Yeah. And you can easily make the argument of we take a lot of quote-unquote refugees in the form of illegal immigrants already. So we could say that then we're not taking any more. And that would not be like – from a humanitarian standpoint, tragedy the way people talk about this hyperbolically.
Yeah.
And as far as visiting is concerned, if you're visiting this country, I'm actually kind of for controlling people visiting from countries that have that sponsor terrorists and have a significant presence of ISIS. I have no problem with that.
But the ban doesn't make any sense. The countries picked.
Yeah, because Saudi Arabia wasn't banned.
Pakistan is not on that.
Well, you can't ban Saudi Arabia.
Exactly, and that's bullshit.
Right. Yeah. So they banned countries.
I thought you were being practical.
That's what I'm saying. So the practical side of me says, of course you can't do that. The moral side of me says, if you're going to ban people who are dangerous from countries, then you got to put Saudi Arabia on that list. Otherwise,
yeah.
But you can't.
You can't.
On the practical side of it,
I know.
Then why even do it?
Or you might say it's incomplete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally incomplete.
But that's different than saying it's flat out wrong.
I think it was asinine. Yeah. You can't ban the people you want to ban, so you're just banning random people.
That's not random people. Well, again, that really is the list made by the Obama administration. It really is.
Yeah, but he's ignoring the countries that are actually funding terrorist groups.
Not only that,
because
but
he can't ban those people.
Exactly. Instead, you're banning people that aren't funding terrorist groups, and
there's a fair amount of terrorism and I can understand there being risks.
Yeah, no, but it doesn't matter.
I don't see what the real problem is.
Yeah, but if you look at the amount of people who have committed terrorist attacks from those countries on us, it's zero.
I understand.
Well, yeah, but you can't just look at the number of people from those countries who've committed terrorist attacks.
Right.
So
the people traveling through those countries.
We have organizations in these countries who have tried to organize attacks, successful or not. You have terrorist cells. These countries do breed terrorism.
I don't think anyone's arguing that.
No.
But I'm arguing mostly what is the goal of the ban is to, quote, make us safer. That's why you would even consider doing it.
And again, I know how this sounds because I don't like Trump, but he's the president.
Right.
He has access to information I don't have. I'm willing to cut him some slack and say, you know what? With the apparatus that you are working with, if you think that there actually is a risk, even though there isn't any evidence of it in the past, I'm willing to say, okay, give it a try.
I don't
understand the overreaction to this.
In this case, not only am I not willing to give them the benefit of the doubt here based on the evidence of what's come before, it also, if the goal is to make us safer, it leaves out countries that people can still come from and have the exact same
thing. I think that's pretending to know stuff that you don't know.
No, well, it's knowing stuff I do know. The 9/11 hijackers all came from Saudi Arabia.
Well,
I know
not
that.
All.
Yeah, but that's not how intelligence works.
Also, you're not looking at the fact that, like, you know, it does nothing, absolutely nothing, to keep you safe from people who become radicalized in America.
Zero. Oh, obviously. Yeah, obviously a travel ban. How could a travel ban do that? That has nothing to do with the travel ban.
Right. So what's the goal?
Wouldn't that be a non sequitur then?
No. The goal. What's the goal of the ban? To try and make us safer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, against future threats.
Yeah, but how are you going to predict the future like this? And also, most refugees who come, it's
you're
not
have to
them.
Talk
they say it's their kids.
Louder, Chalmer.
Based on intelligence.
You're really quiet.
I don't
intelligence that you don't have.
But then
I see no reason to trust this intelligence.
Well, and that's where I have a problem.
Halfway between you guys. So
I
agree with Nick and Brittany. I don't think that the travel ban is.
I'm not siding with Nick. I have a totally different opinion.
then I agree with Nick on the side that I don't think the travel ban is really all that effective. But I'm also with Norm, where I think that. Again, with the intelligence thing and benefit of the doubt, and then also just because there's countries on there that if you're being consistent should be on there, it doesn't mean the countries that are on there aren't consistent with that reasoning.
Yeah,
no, that's true.
I see what you're saying.
My biggest objection to it, honestly, is that the language as written creates a religious test, and that is, if not against the actual wording of our Constitution, it is certainly against the spirit of it. Absolutely.
You guys want to hear something weird? Okay, we're all atheists here.
Yeah.
So why do we care if there's a religious test?
Because it could apply to people who aren't religious too.
But religion does change what people. I want to make this point. I want to separate it from the constitutional issue.
Mm.
As atheist, I think we should be careful about not making sense on how we deal with religion. For example, in this country, you are not supposed to discriminate against people because of their color, because of their race, their gender, their sexual identity or preference,
mm-hmm.
and their religion. I think religion being on that list is bogus. Because if I see someone of a particular skin color or a particular nationality, or if I find out that someone has a particular sexual preference, I actually don't know a whole lot about that person.
Yeah.
But if I know someone's religion, I can know something significant about that person.
Yeah. Plus, yeah. religion is a choice.
That's
race,
correct.
Nationality.
There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah. yeah. That's
so
just how you are.
Religion should not be on that list. Mm. Now, it is in the United States, mm-hmm. but so setting that aside, I think it's weird the way atheists are talking about this as if it's automatically discrimination and all this terrible stuff. I actually think that we, the idea in principle of a religious test for allowing someone into a country is perfectly legitimate.
I don't, because I think it could.
I don't think it's legitimate.
I don't want that.
But I see your point.
I don't want people to have that ability to then decide, you know what, we only want this religion, and if you're not religious, you also can't be in.
Yeah.
I don't, and well, I think that that's a consequence. What if, I don't want to take,
what about,
I don't want to let that power be there.
What if I had a test? Now, again, this is
why
science fiction.
Why don't you have the test just be if you're a rational person instead?
Well, okay. Wouldn't that be partially related to whether someone is religious?
Sure, but it wouldn't be outright basing it only on that.
Oh, well, now you and I are agreeing. I agree with you.
Look,
and I think that that's the claim of the Trump administration, is that they're not testing for a religion because they're not banning people from Muslim countries.
No.
The countries that they're banning happen to be Muslim,
but
there's tons of more Muslims in other countries that they don't have anything to do with the ban. And the reason is because they're trying to not ban Muslims. They're trying to ban Muslim extremists.
The problem is his wording. He worded it terribly, and he pissed people off.
There's a wording in there that says they're on these countries that people are banned from moving from.
Uh-huh.
There is an exception
for Christians,
for religious minorities. And in all these countries, the dominant religion, without even saying it, is Islam.
No, I agree with you on that.
So the religious minority is by default Christianity.
Right.
And that is a religious test. It's saying, what are you? You're this?
No, I'm with you on this.
And I think that he did say
and if they said, hey, we're just making that test.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And that was stupid.
And look, if you're just trying to make this test to make us safer.
But he pleased a lot of people.
I get what you're saying, but if we want to play that game, fine. I'm an atheist.
Right.
Who's more safe? Someone who's in more danger of committing a religious problem with someone? Me, an atheist who doesn't believe in any of it? Or a Christian? So let me in.
And right now, it's probably a Muslim.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but look, this ban also, there's people who we want, like Sam Harris mentioned this, like we want Muslims who are moderate to come here to help watch out for people who they would know are extreme. And also, there are people who used to be extreme, so they're vetted past. Anne Hershey Ali would not be able to come in this country.
Yeah.
People would look at her past and be like, well, she was in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless of the amount of master's degrees and languages.
I'm actually really agreeing. I agree with you completely on this.
Mm-hmm. So people like Majid Nawaz, he used to be part of what was a group that was in he was an Islamist for a while.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He actually had to spend time in prison because of that.
Right.
Now he's not, and he's a reformer, and he's like, we have to change this whole thing. We have to have a reformation movement within this religion. People like him, who are very important to the future of that religion ever possibly being reformulated in a way that's not going to possibly have such a bad software that will be running people's brains, people like him will not be able to come to the country. And we want those people to be able to come to this country.
Yeah. Nick is making a ton of sense right now.
That is what I don't like about this ban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the language in it, it would keep out those kind of people.
But I also don't like... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
On the same note, I agree with Norm that in theory, there's nothing wrong with it. It's on
the
a
way
practical
it was done.
Level.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm not so liberal that, look, I am liberal to the point where I'm kind of thinking, like, you know, one world government or one world order kind of seems like it makes sense. Like,
it could spiral out of control pretty quick.
I get it. But, you know, like, lines are on a map are just lines. I get that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do think that countries have a right to control their borders. I'm not going to be so liberal as to say that you shouldn't have any right to do that.
Yeah.
But the way you're going to do it has to make sense to me. Otherwise, I can't back it.
I also love it when people talk about immigrants and then they hearken back to the, you know, Statue of Liberty quote, and Ellis Island of give me your tired and poor. That was a very, very different time.
That was
a particular program that does not mean that as a nation we have to be doing that forever. That would not be tenable, actually. So
yeah, I agree.
Come on.
I don't think any liberal person should ever be saying because things used to be a way.
I think the problem that I have with it is not that we need to take refugees, not that immigrate. I honestly, morally, there's nothing wrong with it in my mind.
Right.
But my problem is, again, it goes back to the international relations. His timing his verbiage, how he approached the entire situation was inflammatory.
Yeah.
And so we have conflicts with so many other countries, and you made it worse by saying it the way you did, doing it the time you did, and... Chalmers, what are you flying? Chalmers
is playing like the first-person Frogger right now across a highway.
But my,
no, I'm sitting in my car.
Yes, we can. My point is that you are the face of the United States, and you are acting like a jackass.
And this is the bigger problem. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
The biggest problem is that Trump is taking an aggressive business style.
Yeah, and we can't really have this.
Combative business style that is effective for making money.
Mm-hmm.
You can make money if you are a CEO of a company and are an asshole to other companies such that maybe you piss them off and they make a stupid decision and then you buy them out.
Yeah.
That's totally, and that's the game that he's in, and he's taking that into the presidency. And that's a much bigger problem than these little fires.
Yeah. And this goes back to, so you ban Iran, Iraq, he has a whole list, but you didn't ban Saudi Arabians because you can't. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's where the terrorists are, and you're pissing them off.
Well, that's not the only place they are. But.
So can
and also, those other places are not banned. So you're pissing everyone off, banning other people, but you're not banning the places that actually have terrorists.
You know, I don't know about this argument about the ban, like, creating more terrorists. If I'm a terrorist and I hate America, and America prevents people from certain countries coming in that have, like, my people in them, why would that piss me off more?
Well, because they want to be pissed off.
I don't go that route with it. What I do go is...
I just think it's inflammatory. And you're going to... the international relations will suffer from it.
The same way we...
You know, I lost you on that, huh?
A little bit.
All right.
Norm, we already don't have good relationships with them.
And you're making it worse.
The same way...
How can it be worse?
We'll see. We'll see.
That's a pretty good response.
Can I derail this real quick?
Sure.
And change the subject?
Yeah.
Sure.
So, the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, for
can
it.
I just ask.
Environmentally, it's a bad choice.
But honestly, is everyone's fucking problem?
Okay, so Chalma and I are for it.
Okay.
And you guys are against it.
Mine is purely environmentally.
Uh-huh.
Creating a pipeline of that size and that length,
mm-hmm.
it increases the CO2 levels that are output by, God, I think 15%. Yeah. You'll have to look it up, Chalma, researcher.
Yeah.
And I think that's irresponsible at this point.
Thing against, you know, like alternative energy and all that, but... if you're just isolating the pipeline itself as something, like, I agree we should move towards alternative fuels and all that.
No, but, I'm not saying we need to move toward that. I'm just saying that this is an irresponsible move, and the pipeline itself, the movement of the fuel, increases just the pipeline, not using the fuel, not refining the fuel, just moving it along that pipeline in that space from Dakota down, I can't remember where it's going, increases CO2 output. I think that's irresponsible right now, and we don't need it. And I also think that the fact that we have had so many ruptures in the past, breaking of pipes, irresponsible maintenance, that have poisoned water sources, this will be going through a couple of the largest sources of water in the United States. And if we do have continued irresponsible maintenance on them, like we have historically, you will be damaging water sources for a massive population. And I think it's irresponsible. And we have the same companies are running this pipeline that have run other historically. I'm not going to mention all the names,
mm-hmm.
but historically have been irresponsible in their maintenance, have been irresponsible in how they clean the spills, and I just don't trust them to do.
So you're looking at it from kind of a risk benefit.
Yes, this is a huge risk.
So the summary of your argument is I've been hurt before.
I've been hurt before.
Not only that,
and I'm numb now, and I just don't trust you in my heart again.
There's another component to it too. This current administration and the people who are now in power in the country want to get rid of the EPA and scale it back.
Yeah.
And I think that would not help the situation at all. They're going to make it more dangerous.
I can't conflate those two.
I agree. I don't think those are.
I think that he hasn't actually started doing anything with the EPA, so I don't even feel like we should.
No, he
argue.
Shut them down.
Did he shut it down permanently?
They have no new work.
Well, that's
yeah. He put them on
freeze.
It's
a freeze.
I forget the term. Yeah.
A hiring freeze. No, it's funny.
And that's.
But he also shut down research.
Yeah,
he did.
They can't publish any research.
Also,
but is it temporary or is it permanent?
Oh, it's temporary.
This is probably one of the moves I'm the most against.
No, oh, yeah, I'm so angry. Here's another about one. That.
It's a ridiculous move. Yep. It's absolutely.
Have you guys heard about the one where they want, before they can actually approve any research conclusions, Congress gets to vote on it?
Yeah.
And so it basically says, give me your facts, and then the Republican Congress will look and go, no, that's
right. I don't like it.
So they will vote on it. And
that is not going to work.
But now
the information will get can't stop the signal.
But now we're arguing EPA and we're not arguing the pipeline.
I know. I want to go back to the pipeline.
I agree with what you're saying. It's fucked up. But let's talk about the pipeline and then we'll go to EPA.
And I want to talk about the pipeline. And the reason why I'm for it is twofold. One, you can build and maintain a pipeline properly. So building one. And the fact that others have leaked is not that is a somewhat disconnected argument. But also second is what's going to happen if you don't build the pipeline? Well, the companies are going to move the oil by other means, mm-hmm. and those means are not better. Yeah. And so if we're going to use oil, and we all are, then we build pipelines. Pipelines is the most efficient and actually safest way of moving the oil compared to the alternatives.
And honestly, if we're moving it trucks, trains, whatever, however they're going to choose, they're still going to have the CO2 output.
Yeah.
But I still don't think that they will be responsible. I just don't think that either way. I would rather they spill the oil on a road than spill the oil in our drinking water.
Well, that's
honestly what it comes down to. You're going to fuck it up. I know that they're going to fuck it up, and we're going to have a lot of CO2 output. I would rather you fuck up a highway. I would rather you fuck up the ground and maybe a groundwater so we can contain it.
I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say. And my problem is, and I don't know if this applies to you. I'm guessing it doesn't. But to a lot of people who give that argument, there is no satisfactory way to solve that. So,
well, there isn't. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's not really a tenable position because that means that your solution is not to maintain it properly, to seal it properly, build it better. Your solution is it doesn't matter what I say. You're going to mistrust it all categorically.
Me? No, I'm agreeing with what you said about
that. Oh, I got you. Yeah. Okay. Good.
If they actually could, and I could trust that they're going to maintain, and I could trust that if there is a spill that they will contain it.
Right.
All this stuff. Okay, well, we're in a shitty position. We are already using the oil. We're not going to stop using the oil for a long fucking time, if ever. I'm realistic about that. I just...
eventually, because it won't be there.
Yeah.
I simply don't think that they either... Maybe they don't have the resources. Maybe they don't care. Just spill it on the road. Don't spill it in the lake. That's my...
I just had a vision of Brittany 20 years from now. She's an aunt, and she's having people over, and she's saying, you know, if you're going to drink that, can you drink it in the kitchen? Because if you spill it, then at least I can clean it up. If you bring it into the living room, then I've got a big mess.
Yeah, you're going to spill it on my rug. That's a $40,000 rug.
So the other argument against the pipeline...
That's my
in the future, you're doing really well. You have a $40,000 rug?
Yes.
Holy
shit.
Yeah, I'm afraid to come to your house.
I'm filthy fucking rich. And I wear heels everywhere.
Screw role-playing games. I want to live in the future.
What's the future is now.
I think the practical objections are valid.
Yeah.
That's mostly all I have is practical
objections. I'm okay with the pipeline for the same reasons Norm said. Yeah. But so one of the objections against the pipeline, and I think this is totally bogus, that the reservation it's going by argues that it violates the agreement or the treaty or whatever for the reservation.
Yeah.
I can't even enter that argument. I don't know enough about it.
I looked into that.
It's completely
bit.
Bogus. Yeah. So they're saying it violates their treaty, but it's not going through their land.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's private. It is private land it's being built on.
Yeah, no, speaking of, that is something I'm not outright against it because of that, but I have mixed feelings on eminent domain.
Yeah.
And
that's what it's called, eminent domain.
And I don't know how to feel about that
sort
of thing.
Is it too eminent? It's very, very eminent.
It's like right there.
It's so close. It's so nigh.
Bill.
So nigh.
Oh, that just fucked with my head. Oh, that was awesome. It's adjacent domain. I don't know where to stand on that. I go back and forth between
it's reality. Imminently.
Between yeah. Well, there's a reality.
It's everywhere.
I don't know. Where do you come down on it? Because on the one hand, I want to let people have individual rights and have individual rights to property you all buy right. and maintain and you own.
Right.
But there's also the bigger society at large, and I'm a social contract guy, so that kind of also factors in for me at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
think it's
I
a necessary. It's so, a necessary evil of a yeah. society. Can, you have to
me
be.
Too.
I agree.
Since I don't know anything about the actual who owns the land, because it got so friggin' gray that I went fuck it, I don't care, and I went back to what I actually cared about.
Yeah, it's my understanding that in no Indian reservations, they don't own the land. I think the federal okay. government owns that land and they're loaning it.
Were there not farmers there or something?
No, but there is some private land that goes through
property.
That's, yeah, well, not yeah. anymore.
But they probably bought
public
the...
Public access.
So. Yeah. Because I think that the federal government can just be like, all right, we got your shit now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, I mean, they can be fought in court, and they are, but they can win, and
yeah,
that's how
so
that works.
I'm going to be an asshole. I don't care about property rights. I really don't care about it. I don't right. care about borders. I don't care about your fences.
Says
I don't care.
Says a renter.
Says a renter. Sorry, John. And but no, I really think that property arguments, and this is my personal thing, I just simply don't care. When people start right. arguing about this is my, that's my property, that's my pig, that's right. my cow, right. I don't fucking care.
Right.
I don't care. Just
that was that racist?
No. Yeah, sure. I don't know.
No, it was classist.
It was classist.
Classist.
You elite bastard. You know, I hate people who don't like the term elite.
I'm going to use it right now.
Proudly elite.
I think it means the top.
Can I be happy that pretty I'm
sure
educated for fuck's sake?
Top.
Well, and the cream rises to the top, Whitey.
Yeah, look, yeah. Well, I always want to tell these people who are like, you're just a liberal elite. Like, if you're a Broncos fan, do you want the Broncos to go get just a casual quarterback?
Yeah.
A guy who would like to have a beer, or just a regular
yeah,
mainstream guy?
Yeah, because I would
guy,
like to hang out with
or
him.
Or do you want an elite quarterback?
Yeah.
If you're a businessman, you just want, like, a guy who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing as your CEO? Yeah. Or do you want an elite CEO?
I think the reference is to elitism. People who think that they're, yeah. other people are less than
I don't really
them.
Know what you
I don't
mean
think they're less than me, but
all.
I do think people are less intelligent than me
yes.
and less reasoned than
yes.
me, and
yeah.
I'm not going to apologize for yeah. taking time to learn how to use logic and reason.
I'm with you.
Ooh,
I won't take.
Shit.
I won't apologize for it, but I will suffer the consequences of being aware of
yeah.
bad arguments.
Yeah. You know what? I automatically I have this problem. The second I start talking about anything pseudo scientific, anything that's even going into the realm of science, anyone that knows that I actually work in the scientific field
right.
will automatically, anything I say, now invalidated because you're a scientist.
Right.
And even though, wait, I have the expertise here.
Right.
But automatically,
you
I'm the asshole.
Because you're a
sure.
scientist.
Any time I get into it, I'm just automatically less valued because I'm an elite or I'm
right.
an expert. And
did
I'm just
you
like,
go
you know,
off on somebody on a date like two
yeah.
or 3 years ago?
Yes, I
sure.
did. I did.
Yeah,
I had a couple
really
beers and I ripped into him because he thought that cancer was like a fucking virus and I lost my shit on him.
Yeah.
And I essentially just yelled at him, called, well, I didn't yell. I didn't raise my voice, but I was an asshole. And we didn't, there was no other date. So, yeah.
But I want to go real quick back to the pipeline thing.
Sure. Yeah.
I think my real problem with
it is called derailed.
Sorry.
Not sorry.
my real problem with it is I see it as NIMBY syndrome.
Okay.
Not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard.
Yeah.
I'm going to use oil. I'm going to use the energy that oil gives. I'm going to drive my cars out to the protest site.
Right.
I'm going to buy goods that have been shipped by using oil everywhere. I'm going to buy goods that are made of oil,
mm-hmm.
and they're on my back right now, and I'm going to protest
yep.
an oil pipeline that really can't easily go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that it gets ridiculous.
Totally agree with you.
If you're really against that, then fine. Grow your own fucking cotton to make your clothes,
mm-hmm.
and then keep going from there, and then get back to me.
Yeah.
Why can't we just...
Yeah, I don't think people realize how much... Oil isn't just cars.
It's in everything.
It's in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get away from that.
It
no.
fuels a lot of what we do. It fuels the equipment that makes our clothes. it's a major resource.
Yes, you really can't have feasible international travel right now without oil.
Think of it this way.
You can't wear clothes. You'd be walking out butt-ass naked unless you're making your own clothes out of your own hemp or whatever it is.
Oil brings me things I like. I wouldn't be able to watch shows like Stranger Things without it, and fuck that.
Woo!
I want that show. Yes. I want the season 2.
I do, too.
This is a high-five day.
I do, too. Speaking of, we started off talking about TV shows. Have you guys seen The Expanse?
No.
No, I heard it's awesome.
Oh, you need to.
Yeah? Okay.
Chalmer, really have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but I know what it is.
It's really good.
I've heard everyone loves
it. Someone told me it's almost as good as like Battlestar type stuff. Like,
you guys should watch Shut-Eye, because all of us are kind of cynical. And
Shut-Eye.
It's about a psychic who's a con man, obviously, because he's a psychic.
Right.
And it's just his interactions with the organized crime that backs him, and just it's amazing. You guys, it's on Hulu, and it's got the guy from Burn Notice.
Do you have to be a member of Hulu to see it?
I don't know. I use someone else's account.
Okay.
So if you,
I have Hulu, it might be for free.
Yeah, check it out. It's really good.
Like The Expanse, I don't get to watch when it's on. I would need to watch it.
Just download it.
Do you
don't know how to do that?
Is it on Amazon?
No.
It is on Amazon, I think, and I don't have that. See, they're not
torrents. You guys don't do torrents?
I do sometimes, but I have Amazon, so it's free and easy.
Yeah,
I
was thinking of getting Amazon. Actually, it is on Amazon.
Yeah, because that's where I saw it.
Do you like Amazon? Is that worth it? That's the one I don't have yet. I have Hulu, I have Netflix.
So much free shit.
I've been thinking of
getting rid of... I order stuff all the time now.
No, I've been thinking of getting rid of Hulu and going to Amazon instead.
That's what I did. I got rid of Hulu.
We do Netflix and Amazon, and yeah, I love it.
Let's high five.
I might switch out Hulu for Amazon.
Hey, we should get some sponsors. Netflix?
Go to milehighsanityproject.com/Amazon.
That'll never happen.
Chalmer, what are you saying?
You're seeing Black Mirror.
Yes.
I haven't. I heard it's great.
Oh, my fucking God. Emotional.
Wait, everybody be quiet. Nick, you have not seen Black Mirror?
Not even an episode. I heard it's like,
are you insane?
Get out of here. He can't be on My High Sanity Project anymore.
No, it is so you.
Yes, you need to watch it.
I might just go home and binge watch it, because I've got the entire rest of the weekend.
If you binge watch
it. Chalmer, we are having trouble hearing you.
Nope.
You got to raise your volume.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Why don't you go stand right next to a car again? That helped.
Woo.
It's a British sci-fi anthology, and it's fantastic.
If you binge watch it with a bottle of Xanax, because that shit gets real.
I'm trying to think of how to describe it. It's kind of like a mixture of, I don't know.
Someone told me it had Twilight Zone vibes to it.
It's definitely like a modern Twilight Zone meets like Sherlock Holmes. Maybe I don't know.
Have you ever read Margaret Atwood? Or
yes,
no? Yes, Chalmer. I know you have, because Oryx and Craig. If you guys haven't read Margaret Atwood, you would love it. She's great. She's Handmaid's Tale, Oryx and Craig. Just great.
Yeah. And Netflix is doing the Handmaid's Tale series.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. Because No, I think it's out. It's on Hulu. I think
it's on. Well, there's one that's coming to Netflix. I know too.
Is there? Maybe it's the same show. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. It has a lot of similarities with what?
Yeah, it's very dark and conceptual. And some of those episodes will kind of fuck with you.
It's super thought provoking. And I'll tell you what. I will say this: if you're gonna watch it, the first episode is particularly disturbing.
It's brutal, man.
Yes.
And I would gauge whether you want to watch it with someone else. On your own, you would, I think, do what I did, which is like, that is so incredibly fucked up.
Yeah.
But if you watch it with someone else, they might like be turned off from the show completely.
What should I watch first, that or Westworld?
Black Mirror.
Really?
Black Mirror.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I watched the first episode. I watched it with Eddie, and we turned off the TV. We were watching it. We shut off all the lights and everything. We watched it at the end of the episode. We turned off the TV and just sat on the couch. We didn't speak.
Yeah.
We didn't move. And it was silent in our house for like 20 minutes because both of us were like, we just kind of looked at each other. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, when we were emotionally ready, we watched the next episode.
Yeah.
And it took me 2 months to get through the two seasons, and it's like five episodes. Yeah. This is not a show you binge watch.
Mm. I could binge watch it.
Maybe I could now, not then. Because
I had the same thing with my wife. We'd watch an episode, and then like the next night, I'd say, "You want to watch Black Mirror?" And she'd be like, "That's so heavy. I don't."
Because you watch have to something process a little lighter? That shit.
I mean,
yeah.
And I would go to work and I would discuss it with my coworkers. Well, you've
convinced me, so I'm going to go home and watch the first episode. Then, right after we're done recording this.
Watch it with your wife.
I'm going to sample this first before I...
I would not watch it with Alex the first... I would not watch the first episode at all with Alex.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And if you do, I would only watch it after you've seen it.
Here's what I'll do. I'll go and I'll watch it with my mom, but I'll film her reaction to it as we watch it.
Oh, do that. Yeah. Totally.
Totally do that. Put that up on Facebook.
Viral.
I might watch it with my grandmother.
That's what you should do. Start like doing community service where you like go to old folks' homes. Like, we're going to watch this show.
Hey, Grammy
Graham.
And just
put the camera up. And then you see like people going like, we fought in World War II for this.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now I just want to watch it. All right. Holy shit, we've been recording for a long time. So we might as well wrap it up here.
Good times. We didn't even talk about my chimera, my human pig chimera. That's how you get orcs. Orcs are in our future.
I want to hear about this.
No, me too.
I'm so excited.
What'd you guys think of this kind of format of an episode?
This is kind of related to the first episode of Black Mirror.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. I heard that too. But don't tell me what happens. And I can't. Gotta go fresh.
I don't. Why did you say it like that?
Have you ever seen that Seinfeld with George's dad? Whatever, they're like talking about movie previews before the movie. He's like, "Don't tell me." They're like, "It's just a preview." It's like, "No, I gotta go on fresh."
Totally
awesome. All right.
Did you guys like this kind of as an episode?
It's fun.
I mean,
yeah. We'll see how it's the random listeners and all react. Over the
place, but
yeah.
Yeah.
It's this an engaging conversation, and also I feel like it lets us do things like disagree with each other and yell at each other, which we never usually get to do.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I got to say that you guys weren't thinking, and then...
I got to be an asshole two times.
You got pissed off at me. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And we high-fived. There were three high-fives.
Yes.
And I said, I'm going to be an asshole two or three times.
Excellent.
Well, I feel that's like there's also...
I'm upset. Yeah.
What?
I'm going to go home and high-five my dog.
Nice. Aww. Yeah, you know what? I really hope that we can do this in person as much as possible.
Yeah. Well, especially these ones lend itself more to discussion and stuff. And I wanted to create some kind of way of having an episode that would let us have back and forth and also let us change our minds in real time back and forth. And I think that we did that today with a few things.
Yeah.
I definitely did. We should do it with beer next time.
I laughed. I cried. We could.
a lot of liquids, a lot of bodily fluids around here. So,
gross. Oh. Also relatable to the first episode of Black
Mirror. It all comes back around. I got to go see this then. All right, folks, from us here at the Mile High Sanity Project, we're going to get back on track now. So thank you for listening to this, and we'll be at you again. And as always, please think responsibly.